Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad that you have joined us today. We're looking forward to this show. It's going to be amazing and wonderful. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here live in the studio, as always, live. We never record these in advance. And with me in the studio is Nan, one of our radio team members. And Carol will be joining us in a few minutes from Georgia, and we always look forward to Carol joining us. She's always fun and entertaining, isn't she?
Oh, she's fantastic. And she's so wise and knowledgeable. You know,
she is wise.
Entwined in
right.
If you will, humor. Of
humor, yeah, right.
She's just so wise and has so much knowledge. We can just glean from her.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaks.
It's really good that when both of you are on. We really enjoy it, as all of our radio team members. And we are excited about this show today. We're in our new series on free to be, dot, dot, dot. You know how I like those dots, man?
Oh, yes. You put them
everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Free to be. So we are in the book of Galatians, and we're going to be in the chapter 3. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, that will be a great thing. And we just got a lot of stuff to talk about because, you know, a lot of times the devil tries to keep us so bound up. Bound up by the past, bound up by traditions, about other, sometimes bound up by other people's opinions. And, you know, it just is no way to live in joy and victory, Nan, when we're all bound up, you know?
Well, I was saying bound up, you know, sometimes we, you say other people's expectations. We
right.
We kind of get
yeah.
stuck sometimes of wanting people to accept us
right.
to such a degree that we fall into what their expectations, just to have them,
I'm having some hearing problems over here. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, trying to have them to like us, respect us, be friends with us, whatever, you know. Do you need to change?
Yeah.
Do you need to change headsets?
Okay. Just a minute. I'm trying to get some sound here. I'm having trouble in that particular. Whoa, it's just interfering. But go ahead about, because, you know, the people-pleasing thing, Nan, is a real problem for a lot of people, that they go through life trying their best. I think I'm okay now. Trying their best to please everybody around them. And because of that, it's an area of bondage that people go through.
I think, you know, I mean, I have personally done that and experienced that. And you know, just wanting, you know, to seek the acceptance of people who are, say, family members.
Sure.
Family members that you want them to accept you as you are.
Right.
And seeking to have their acceptance. But there's just going to be sometimes you're not going to get it anyway. So
right.
you try to people please, and it's still not pleasing the people.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. We kind of touched on this last week in the show and we started this new series last week, Free to Be. And we really dealt with chapter 2 of Galatians. And then in Bible study on Wednesday night, Pastor Jim talked about Paul and his travels, and all of that was kind of encompassed in chapter 1. So today we're going to really go on into 3 and see what was causing all these people in the Galatia area, which was not a city, it was a whole area, causing them, where they had planted these churches, to have all this bondage, you know, having problems, you know, with rule keeping and people pleasing and these types of things. So we're going to get into this today, and we're going to really talk about believing in God and really what that means. I'm excited about this show.
I know you are.
Yeah, you can tell, right?
I can tell.
Yes. So It's been an exciting day at Beacon of Hope.
We are looking at
a new facility to rent for our ministry, and took all of our people there after church. So we were kind of running close on time when we ran in here, weren't we?
Yes, I scooted in the chair just in time.
Yes, you did. You were flying low. Yeah. So anyway, we're glad you've joined us. And I tell you, when you talk about Paul, who wrote Galatians, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, like 2/3 of the New Testament, you find that his theme overall was found in Romans 1:16-17. And I'm going to let you find it in the King James, because most people probably have memorized this verse, these couple verses in the King James. I did as a child. Romans 1:16-17. You want to read it, Nan?
Sure. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith. And that's going to be the theme for this show today. And, you know, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He had a lot to say about the gospel. We're not ashamed of it. We love the gospel. And that's what this radio show is about week after week, is talking about Jesus and him crucified and our risen Lord. And that's the whole theme of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the theme of the gospel. God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to this earth. There is no substitute for relationship with Jesus. That's what the gospel is all about. You know, I think a lot of times people get caught up, Nan, in theories, or they get off on tangents and try, you know, New Age things or Eastern religion and things like that. That stuff does not, it's all about Jesus. It's not about all those other things, you know?
I'm reminded of a personal thing I don't think I've shared with you. My son, he's 22 and he's in college.
Yes, right.
And we got talking the other day, and I got talking to him about Jesus. And he was raised in church.
Right, sure.
He went to Christian private school through seventh grade.
Right.
So he thinks he knows everything about everything anyway, plus he's 22.
Right.
But he went off on this whole tangent, and it was not lifting up that Jesus was the Son of God. He just went off on this whole tangent of just stuff.
Yeah.
That I really didn't feel like dealing with at that moment, so I didn't say anything. But I was like, my heart was kind of like broken.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's people, a lot of people in the world who do that same thing.
Yes.
They go off on, you know, things are open to interpretation. Things
right,
are this,
yeah.
Things
they,
are that. Jesus was a good prophet. Well, no, or a good preacher, or a good whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And they minimize the reality, the truth of the situation.
Amen. Amen. You're right. And the truth of the matter is, and this is what the Galatians were falling into. They were falling into rule keeping. They were falling into the law. And Paul is really addressing them, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But let's start with this great song. I asked Connie to put this on. This is a very old song, probably 30 years old. I don't know. But the artist is Janet Paschal, and it fits perfectly with today's show. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul's words.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why gospel, the
gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all He wants me to be. Give up the road for the ride. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For every moment His hand has held mercy, for all the love that He's shown all my life, a simple thanks doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, this whole world around me, I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No,
praise God. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to give up what I need to give up to be able to declare God's word. And that's what it's all about, Nan.
That is an oldie one. I hadn't heard that in probably 25 years.
Yeah.
I was reminded of when I was in high school, we had, it wasn't Teens for Christ, but we had a Christian little group. We'd get together and pray every morning
sure.
in the library. And I haven't thought of it since then, but I can remember walking out one time. And people knew that we met there because we shared with people
right.
if they would ever want to join us and things like that. And some guy made fun of me.
Uh-huh.
And I remember looking at him and saying, yes, I'm a Jesus freak. You know, back in the 70s,
right.
you know, that was
exactly.
a term, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, and of course, people in my church wouldn't have necessarily used that kind of term, but at
right.
the age of, you know, 15, yeah, 16,
sure.
and
yeah,
70s,
that was the term.
You were a Jesus freak.
And we were not ashamed of the gospel
we
to be Jesus freaks. No, we weren't.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. You crazy Galatians. I love this in the Message Bible. Did someone put a hex on you? Paul says, have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your life. And that's what Paul's message is. Get the crucified Jesus in clear focus. Be thinking, remembering that everything you do is based on the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. In fact, it says here, his sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. I'm in Galatians 3:2, verse 2. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working out? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? I love that Paul just really gets it nitty gritty here. For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? So did you go through the whole painful process, learning process for nothing? Is it not yet a total loss? It certainly will be if you keep this up. And then I'm in verse 5 of Galatians 3. Here's the question that Paul poses to the church of Galatia. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? And we're going to talk about Abraham. He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. And it's so interesting that this early church, Nan, had gotten off into the law. They had gotten off into rule-keeping, people-pleasing. They weren't allowing God to do the work in them that needed to be done, the cleanup process that needs to happen. And I think a lot of people get into that very thing, just like this early church, where we try to, if I read enough Bible verses, if I give enough money, or if I make sure that I am always dressed properly, or I don't dance or play cards or things that, you know, back in the day, right, long time ago, those were things in churches that were preached against, you know, dancing, playing cards, etc. People get caught up in rule keeping today because I believe we want a formula for how to become more like God. And instead of just allowing God to do the work in us, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm reminded way back when I can remember, you know, that we, my husband and I would say what a lot of people say, that they would spend so much time talking about doing the don'ts that they don't spend enough time talking about doing what you can do.
Right.
You
know, exactly.
I didn't word that right, but you know.
But in other words, people get so preoccupied with you can't do this, you can't do that, right, you can't play cards, you can't whatever. And the rule keeping aspect of it. And Paul is saying, guys, you've just lost your focus. Your focus has got to be on what Jesus did on the cross. And what he did on the cross by allowing his body to be broken for us, shedding his blood for us for forgiveness of sin, allowing his body to be broken for our sins, our sicknesses, our emotional junk, all that stuff. When we take what Jesus did on the cross by faith and we declare, all right, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we become saved by faith, not by how many books of the Bible we can quote in order, or, you know, what, how long our skirts are, right, which, you know, mine are never because I don't wear them anymore. So,
when are you going to put on that skirt for us?
I'm not going to do that. I quit doing that a long time ago, but I used to, when I used to pastor in Indiana, on Sundays, I would wear a dress and heels and all that stuff. Believe it or not. Yeah.
But you look cute.
No, I didn't look cute at all.
Okay.
But you know what? That was a long time ago and right, times have changed, you know?
Right.
I mean, our standard garment in the United States these days is Levi's, you know, jeans.
Well, jeans,
right?
That's it.
Yeah. And plus, you know, nice shirts and all that kind of thing. But things have changed. But people got so hung up in Bible times and in today, this still goes on in some churches, where people are made to feel less than if they don't have as nice a clothes as others, mm-hmm, or if you know, they don't know as much Bible or whatever the case may be, if they're not following the rules, you know?
And you have those rule keepers in the church. I remember one time I had this skirt on. It's a very nice looking skirt.
Okay.
And it had slits on both sides, but not high slits.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, it was decent.
Right.
There was nothing wrong with the skirt. And I guess I crossed my legs, and you could see a little bit of the other leg, you know, just visual. I'm not quite sure how she. So a very kind, elderly little lady after church pulled me aside and said, I wanted to let you know that, you know, that you really shouldn't be wearing that skirt. It's,
right,
it's too revealing.
Saw your leg.
God told me to tell you
yeah,
to not ever wear that skirt again.
Oh, God told me to tell you. Yeah.
So I said, well, when he tells me, woo! Then I'll quit wearing it. And with not trying to be disrespectful, but
right.
I think, you know, she was one of those into the
exactly.
rule keeping, just like this talking in Galatians.
Right.
You have those around who try to keep tabs on everybody else. If they
right.
spend enough time being what they were supposed to be and doing what they were supposed to do, they wouldn't have time to try to keep tabs on everybody else.
It's just like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They were all about the rule keeping, and they said, oh, no, you can't heal anybody on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, no, we don't allow that. Carol, are you on? We're in a lively discussion already here because Nan joined us here. Are you there, Carol?
I'm here.
Okay. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Nan, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Carol. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's Mama?
She's doing well.
Good.
They go to the surgeon tomorrow and see what happens. So well, this is all good. It's all
prayers
good.
Prayers are being said for her, so we all know that she's in good hands.
Yes. Thank you very much, Carol. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Carol, we're talking about rule-keeping, you know, and Paul has this famous verse that we just did that song, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation." It's the gospel of Jesus that is the power that changes our lives, not the rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's the motor to our bodies.
Amen. Absolutely. Yes.
Don't you feel sorry for the people that have all kinds of physical ailments, and they blame it on everything under the sun, and yet they, when you ask them, you know, what is your relationship with Christ? Are you a believer? Do you turn yourself over to him? If, you know, he bears your pain. He speaks of it so many times.
Right.
When he went to the cross, he bore our pains.
Right.
He knows exactly how we feel on a rough and rotten day.
Right.
But if we continue to not believe that he is the healer of our physical body, our emotional self, and our spiritual self, then we're only cheating ourselves out of his grace and mercy.
Amen. Amen. Because we've got to acknowledge what he did on the cross. And I think this church in Galatia was a lot like happens in a lot of churches today. People get, you know, they just get into the, oh, let's go to church because we got to do it. Not because they want to get closer to the Lord, perhaps, or not because they want to hear the anointed word of God that will change them. Instead, it's more like it's a rule. It's expected. This is what, you know, Mama said we always had to do, you know, type
thing. Yeah, people are conditioned, I think, in the United States, primarily from birth, to hear the authoritative word. You don't question the authority.
Yeah. Right.
You know, your parents say to you, sit down, and you don't look around to see where or why, you just drop to the ground.
Right.
You know, whereas Christ says, look around.
Right.
Look around. See my wonders. See my work. See my love in other people. See my love and devotion in the people who truly know who I am, and put out that extra effort to bring other people to me. We don't
right.
want to see that. Because we're not conditioned to do that in most homes. You know, how many of us really veil our face with our hands, you know, producing a peekaboo spirituality, when in reality we should let the glowing face of God's Spirit reflect on our total physical, spiritual, and emotional countenance?
Well, that's a good point, because I think that a lot of people, Christians, let's call them Christians, suffer from allowing the devil to persecute them and condemn them, the lies of the devil, which we've taught on this show over and over again. Paul said in Romans 8:1, there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I believe a lot of people get stuck in the rut of the rule-keeping thing, and because the devil's pounding their head in all the time about how they failed, how they did this wrong, and how were you really kind at that point? No, you were not kind. And so what kind of a Christian are you? Nan wants to comment on this before I get to you, Carol.
No, I was just thinking, I have, you know, done that. And,
yeah.
And, you know.
I was thinking of you when I said that. No,
I,
no,
knew
I
you.
Wasn't.
I could tell
no,
by the look. But, and I will sit there and beat myself up over
right.
something that he helped me see that, you know, if you mess up, then you mess up.
Right.
You ask forgiveness, you go on. I have had the tendency to just beat myself up. I've always
absolutely.
Said I will beat myself up more than, you know, I will, a supervisor ever would verbally to get on me. Anything.
Right.
I just, you know, that's just.
But that's bondage, though.
That's
bondage when we get over into that law of, oh, well, I messed up here and I messed up there. Not that we're not going to sin. We are going to sin. We are going to mess up. We are going to have times of unforgiveness, anger, whatever. But we have to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, convict us, and us say, oh, I'm sorry, man, I messed up. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, there's a culture, Carol, and I know you know this. I did not grow up in this type of a church, but there are, and I won't name the church, but we all know what I'm talking about, where people have to go to confession. And they have to, in if they go to confession over things, then they are given an assignment of how many Hail Marys they have to do or whatever to absolve them of the guilt of what they did. You want to, you know what I'm talking about, Carol?
Yeah, first of all, I don't think there's an intermediary on earth.
Right, there's not.
That can dissolve anything in our life by going to them and praying and countenance and genuflecting to the left and dancing to the right three times forward and six times backward. All of that forgiveness comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not a human being.
Right. That's the point. Yes.
It comes all through Jesus Christ. I can do something incorrect or wrong or foul or whatever word we might want to use in the way of an adjective there or an adverb, and I can do those things, and then I can walk into my yard and say, Lord, I didn't think it through. I was not being wise. I was not hearing your voice. I was not doing the teachings that you have spoken to
me
in the Gospels of the Scriptures. So I ask you now to forgive me. It is finished through, done, and gone. But, you know, we're the ones that, you know, that make ourselves walk away from the forgiveness of Jesus. It's so simple to say, Jesus forgives me because I've asked for it. And in the Scripture, he tells us, I know not what you're talking about as far as the east is from west. Yesterday is gone.
Amen.
It will not return again. So this is the thing I told you earlier that Jesus laid on my heart a few minutes ago, actually.
Okay.
When something takes place, and we've done, including myself, let's just say, every Christian, even non-Christian, has done something that is evasive and effacive to God, he forgives us. If we ask for it in sincerity,
absolutely,
we know him, he forgives it.
Right.
But we drag it along.
Yeah, we do.
We drag it along.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Nan was just speaking. I pick up my garbage and take it with me wherever I go.
It becomes kind of heavy, doesn't it?
It gets really heavy. But
sure.
Why can't we realize as human beings, based on all the teachings of Scripture, the apostles, the disciples, and learned scholars, why can't we simply do this? You know, let our minds continue to go to the forefront. Our past should be and our memory should be forgiven and forgotten, because when you have done that, you have left it all. You walked out a clean person, left those dark clothes laying on the floor or out in the middle of the yard, wherever. And when God forgives you and you know in your heart that he has, it is over, it is finished, it is done. And as Dolly Parton has always said, get off the cross because somebody else needs the wood.
Well, you know, you pose a question, which is exactly right. And that is, why do people, instead of just accepting the free gift of what Jesus did on the cross, this is what Paul was saying to the Galatians. It's like you've forgotten that Jesus bore all your sins on the cross, that he took your sicknesses and your pains and your sorrows. Instead, it's like you want to walk around and carry them. Like, for instance, the Pharisees in Jesus' time, when Jesus would heal on the Sabbath, they got so mad and said, oh, no, our rule says you can't do it. In other words, let this little man suffer instead of healing him, because, after all, it is the Sabbath day, you know?
That's right. And, you know, so many times, I'm like with you and with Nan, so many times I have visited churches, I may have attended them for a while, and all of a sudden, you don't see the rules when you first walk in.
Right,
and
no, there's no rule.
You mean, there are rules.
There are.
They're unwritten.
They're unwritten. You're not going to see them. Yeah.
Some spoken to you.
Right.
Like Nan talking and you talking about your skirts and so forth and things
right.
like that.
Right,
so, and here's one of my favorites. You go into a church to visit. Oh, everybody's so gracious, and they're welcoming. You go back the next week or the week or the week, and you take a seat that just so you can hear, so you can see, so you can participate more. And you sit down, and service is getting ready to start, and here comes Betty Sue and Johnny Joe.
Yeah.
And they go, they lean down so gracious and so sweet. And they said, excuse me, this is our seat.
Right.
I want to get up and say, please, would you show me where your name is embroidered in the cushion or written on the pew?
Right. I know. But you know what, Carol? That is so true. And that's tradition and rule keeping. And it really stifles the love of God in that congregation. Nan wants to comment on this. Because this is a common problem. Nan tries her best to not let anybody sit in her chair, Carol, at our church.
Hey, so. Watch it now, Pastor. Now, I was thinking, I mean, even a Beacon, there's been times, but former churches, you know, we are a creature of habit. I am.
Right.
On certain areas, I am.
Sure.
And one of them is kind of where I sit. You
right,
know?
Right.
But it's just, if someone sits in the seat where I normally sit, I just go sit somewhere else.
Well,
and
yeah.
I get you get a different perspective. It's cool.
Yeah.
You get a little bit different perspective,
right.
By sitting somewhere else.
One thing I like to do, and Maxine likes to do, is when we walk into a church, we like to walk right up front and sit down.
Yeah.
It scares the bejesus out of everybody in there.
Right, it does.
They don't know who you are, and I always walk in with at least one Bible and a notepad and a pen, and I start writing from the minute I sit down.
Right, you're a note taker.
And it just scares the holy terror out of everybody.
I know, they're not used to that.
What are they doing up there? Because, you see, that's a reserved seat. First row is a reserved because nobody else wants it.
Right, because nobody wants it as reserved.
They don't want to be that close to the altar. They don't want to be that close to the cross. And symbolically, there are people every day of their life, they don't want to be that close to the altar where confessionals are done. They don't want to be that close to the cross because that's where he hung.
Exactly.
Symbolically, that's where he hung.
And, Carol, that's the problem right here that Paul is talking about in Galatians. You guys, you got off on your rules. You got off on trying to make everybody fall in line with what you want them to do, when you want them to do it, the way that you want them to behave. And Paul says, wait a minute, you lost your focus. I love that in the Message Bible. You lost your focus. You forgot that it's God that cleans you up and does the work. And instead, what happens so often is we go about trying to clean each other up. You know, we go try to point out somebody's faults, or we try to be critical of them in whatever way. And that's fallen into the trap of the devil. Nan wants to comment, and then we'll get back to you, Carol.
Well, the Bible, and you would be more versed in it than I, but talks about, you know, why behold the little splinter that's in
right,
your brother's
sure,
eye when
Matthew.
You have a beam in your own.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I find that I have my hands full making sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and not doing what I'm not supposed to and just really walking as I should walk. I don't have time to sit there in judgment over anybody else at all. I don't have, nor if I had the time, I wouldn't take it.
But churches are full, and that's why people don't want to go to church a lot of times.
Right.
Churches are full of judgmental and critical people that are watching others. Is that what you're saying, Carol? I think
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, but if you go in and take the front row because nobody wants it, because I'm telling you, when if you are a marginal Christian, or if you're there because somebody decided that they would take you on Friendship Day, bring everybody you can.
Right.
They open the doors, and here comes an influx of people.
Right.
If they have to walk down and sit in the front, it puts them so far out of their comfort zone.
It does.
And conversely,
yes.
I want to be close to the front. I want to see Jesus on that cross. I want to see Jesus come down off that cross. I want to be able to sit there and say, this is the altar. This is my comfort zone.
Right.
And when I deliver a message and I come to that table to set it to have it for communion, I stand there a few minutes and I pray for myself that I will deliver the messages to each person coming to me that God wants delivered. And I want to be close enough to that symbolic blood of the, you know, the wine and the bread, the symbolic body of Christ. I want to be close enough that I can feel it, I can taste it, I can smell it, I can see it.
Right.
I feel the warmth in it. As it goes down my throat, it's the warming of Jesus Christ refilling me again, only because I'm a willing vessel.
Well, that's the whole point right here. And I think a lot of people get so hung up in churches. I grew up as a preacher's kid, a missionary's kid. I have seen this, and I used to complain and complain. And I used to say I would never marry a preacher, which I didn't. I did not. I became one, but I didn't marry one because I had seen all this stuff in churches and the judgmental attitudes and people that were constantly picking on others, gossiping and that kind of thing. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Because really, when we do that kind of thing and we are setting a set of rules up as these are the rules we're going to play by. You know, it's different when you're in an athletic contest like baseball. You know, it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite game. And when you're watching a baseball game, you know, when an outfielder catches a fly ball, that's an out. It's an out all the way around. That's the rule. It's an out. You know, you can't have the outfield or somebody on the other team go, no, let's not use that as an out this time. Let's just say you caught the ball, but it's not an out. That's a rule, right?
That's right.
But in churches, so often people try to establish those rules of either behavior or who likes to hang out with somebody else. And it really can cause division and strife. So often it's a hypocritical thing. And Paul was addressing this very thing here in Galatians because
you know,
it binds people
to church, and both of you have seen it probably even as late as this morning. When people come to church and they haven't been there for a while, or perhaps they haven't been, maybe they're members and they've just kind of gotten in the routine of not going to church. But when people come to church and you look across and you see these weeping eyes, and the you hear the sobs and the breakdowns, and somebody moves closer to them to comfort them and let them not feel alone, they have finally, at that moment in time,
sure,
on that particular day, that particular time, realized it was a divine appointment.
Amen. And that's what it should be when we gather together.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And you know, they will say to you, and I've heard them say it to you 100 different times.
Right.
I've always tried to stand by you when it was over so that I could help somebody else while you were helping somebody else.
Sure.
You know, and to hear people say, I don't know why I came today, or Pastor, that message hit me, because it was a divine appointment that
exactly
drove your ugly, hairy little legs up there.
Right. And yes, and with this said, here's what Paul says before we get to this next song. He says, let's look at the life of Abraham, because Abraham was not one of these that was trying to keep a set of rules. He was willingly obeying God when God called him and his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot out of the country of Haran and sent them towards the promised land. Abraham had a decision. He had a choice right then to either obey God and step out of what was his comfort zone, or to stay put. And had he stayed put, oh my, we would all down through the ages have been affected by his lack of obedience. And Paul is saying here, we got to become like Abraham in that he simply believed God. The theme of this show today is we've got to believe God. We got to get our eyes off of what other people try to put on us, entangle us with. Paul talks about it in Ephesians or in Hebrews. The sin that so easily entangles us, when we get all entangled up looking at other people, when we get all entangled up in condemnation. Nan, you have a comment on that before we go to the song? I mean, we can get so hung up on all these things that we are not free. We're not free.
The sad thing in part of that is people are like that, but they don't realize they're not free.
No, they don't.
I mean, they really, a lot of times, do not realize, you know, where they really are, where they really stand with it,
right,
with that. And it's really quite sad.
It is.
You know, I mean, you can't solve a problem if you don't realize you have a problem.
Right.
And so if people are in denial that they don't have a problem in that area, they think they're fine. Yet they're not. And you can see that. But
right,
you can't convince people.
You know, Jesus said in Matthew 19 that all things are possible to him who believes. Okay. So, listening audience, there might be some of you out there right now who are struggling with certain areas in your life. Maybe you've got some relationship issues that are driving you crazy, and you need to give those things to God and believe that he can work on these things instead of trying to fix it yourself. I mean, we get so hung up, Carol, on always, all of us, on trying to fix our problems, fix our issues, fix other people. Don't you think?
You know, sometimes I get so aggravated with people who, you know, a lot of people call me and ask me 101 different things about spiritual advice and something, and some of them I've gone over the same thing so many times I can read scripture and verse in my mind to them before they ever pick the phone up to call me.
Right.
But there are times that I want to say to them, please look at me. I am a 70-year-old woman doing what God has asked me to do. I am not the one with the purple robe. You have to go to the purple-robed person yourself.
Yes, Jesus. Amen.
I can only intercede for you
right.
for as long as I know that you're working on it.
Right.
You know, go to the master.
Exactly.
Go to that cross.
Exactly.
If you have to build one in your front yard out of rocks and lie down before it and say, Father, forgive me. Father, advise me. Father, comfort me. Father, strengthen me. And I am so appreciative, Jesus, that you hung on a cross so that I don't have to.
Amen.
And I won't let anybody else define. I said this years ago. I got so fed up with, like Nan and you were talking about, I got so fed up with ordinary people trying to say extraordinary things to me that they had no place in doing or saying. Because it didn't concern them. It was between me and my master.
Right.
So I decided I would never again give one moment of my time to somebody that I didn't choose.
Yeah. Well,
if I chose to give somebody a moment of my time, I'll spend hours with them talking to them about the Gospels and how Jesus is and God and the sacrifices, yada, yada. But by the same token, I will not sit and listen to their garbage just because Mary wore a yellow skirt today to church.
Right, exactly. That stuff is just, it's got to go. We got to realize that, Abraham didn't get hung up on all those things. He just, when God called him to leave his country and go to a promised land, he didn't even know where he's going. You know, he chose to allow God to lead him. And yeah, the rule keeping and the judging others, the critical stuff has got to go. Listen to this song. I love this song by the group Hillsong. We do it at church a lot. All things are possible, because no matter what you're going through today, dear one out there in Radio Land, God can intervene in your situation. He is the one that can set the issues right in your life or with others. All things are possible.
All things are possible. Come on.
My redeemer, my hiding place, my safe refuge.
praise is always on my lips. Your word is living in my heart. All things are possible, man. We get so hung up on all the impossibilities in our lives, all the difficulties, all the stressors, all the problems with other people, all the problems in churches, or all the problems in our family or our work situation. We all have these stressful issues, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely.
And we've got to get back to basics. That's what Paul is saying here to this church of Galatia. He's saying, get back to basics. Get to the knowledge that you have to believe that God can work in these situations. Quit trying to fix other people and quit trying to fix yourself. Go ahead, comment on that before I get back to Carol. That's a mouthful, right?
Yeah. Can I read a poem that goes along with this?
Yes, God just gave you one when, during that song, right?
Yes, he did.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. And this kind of says what I guess I'd like to say, too. This is from him. You can't fix other people. Please learn that this day. Look to me for all of your direction. I will help you as you pray. Your prayers will accomplish more than anything you can do or say. Lean to me as you face people. I will move and I will make the way. It's not your job to fix others. Concentrate on what I can do in you. You will feel so much freedom as I work in you, all that I do. Remember, you can't fix others, so concentrate on the areas in you. I will work in your life as in them I will also do.
Perfect. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Carol, did you hear all that? What a great poem that God just gave.
Very nice. Woo. And in concordance with that, you know, if we're not running to Jesus as individuals, we're running away from him.
Right.
It does. I mean, just think of this parallel. You've got two runners.
Yeah.
And they're headed down to the track, and it's going to be a 440 or maybe a mile. And they take off, and they take off together. And they get up around that first curve, and runner A keeps plowing on. They just go and going. And all of a sudden, they slip a glance to the right, and runner B is not there.
Right.
They don't dare look back because they may stumble and fall.
Right.
So they continue on. And then when they realize that runner B is coming toward them in the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do when we run from Jesus.
Right.
If we don't keep the course, as you know, as Nan has basically said in the poem, if we don't keep the course for ourselves and do what we can for ourselves in the spirit of loving and doing the things that Jesus and God have set forth, then we're running away. We're runner B. We don't want to see the way, the goodness, the light.
Exactly. No, that's a good example. And when you just said that, it reminded me of Hebrews 12, starting with verse 1, the first three verses in Hebrews 12. I'm going to read it in the NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And that can be judging others. It can be critical behavior. It can be looking at other people and trying to fix them and all that. And the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance, Carol, that goes right along with what you're saying, the race that is marked out for us. And I love verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because
you know,
we do
right
that.
In line with that, quoting from Pastor D.L. Moody in his book, They Walked with God, this is a quote. If there is nothing but glory beyond, our faces ought to shine brightly all the time.
True.
Aren't we supposedly, now this is from me, aren't we supposedly seeking God's glory?
Right.
And if we are, why do we turn, and I'm guilty as anybody else, the two of you sitting there too, why do we turn back and see the garbage we just walked through?
Absolutely. Yes.
Why do we say, but God can't do this, God's got to do this, God's got to hear me, God didn't do this, and I'm just doggone angry.
Right.
Why don't we just think, Jiminy Crickets, he's already forgiven that for me, and this is what he told me today. He said, I've forgiven it. Quit looking
back. That's right.
At it. I want you to move forward. That phase of your life, of our lives, is gone. When he says he forgives it, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's like there's an angel running along behind us after we do get our act together and erasing all the things because God has forgiven them because we ask him to.
Right.
And now we should be running right toward the victory, the sign of victory on our face, a smile, a hand raised, and going, praise the Lord.
We've got to fix our eyes. That's what you're saying right here.
That's
we've
right.
got to run this race with perseverance. Nan, what you said in that poem or what God gave you to say was we can't fix each other, right? And we got to get our eyes off of each other.
Right.
Go ahead.
But there again, like we've already, like I've already said, you know, I don't. If I spend time worrying, not worrying, but taking care of me, I'm not going to have time to look at you and start pointing out your faults.
Right.
And you shouldn't do that anyway. We're not the judge. There's
right.
only one judge. It's not
right.
you or I or Carol or anybody else on the face of this earth. There's one judge. And he's
There's
the one
only
who will
one
take
purple
care
robe.
Of.
Yeah, exactly. And but the thing is that people, this we are all guilty of this, mm-hmm. is that we get our eyes on other people and their faults, their sins, their problems, whatever, because it allows us a little bit of freedom of not thinking about what's going on in us. You know, we put our eyes, our attention, instead of on Jesus, we put it on people. Go ahead.
Well, I'm reminded of something my mother told me one time when I was very young, and she told me later, but it happened when I was younger, that the church had a prayer line. Now, okay, Beacon has a prayer line and do it on email and send
right.
back out. But they had a prayer line before email.
Right.
And it was called calling each other on the phone.
Right.
Well, their prayer requests back and forth with each other turned into gossip.
Sure.
And my mother told them, I don't want to be on the prayer line anymore because she really didn't want to hear
right.
as much as what was going on because what was supposed
exactly.
to be well-meaning, you know, prayer for each other turned into
right.
something God didn't want it to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we're jealous. We're fighting siblings.
Right.
I don't want to see the goodness in you because you don't see the goodness in me, and God has found favor with you, and why does he doesn't find favor with me?
Right.
I don't know what somebody's internal spirit is like.
Right.
What their relationship with God really, really, really is. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty, dot the line, I'm not sure. Like Nan says, I'm not the judge. We are not the judge. The judge has that one big purple rope, and he's the one that wears it, and it's his. We can't go in and claim it. We can't grab it and say, I'm wearing this today. Can't do that. But, you know, and we are very jealous. If people that talk about other folk and malign other folk and yada, yada, and in church, like Nan's mother was saying, she doesn't want to know all the trouble
right,
in the trash.
Exactly.
She doesn't
right.
care if Mary wore a yellow skirt and purple shoes today.
Right. Exactly.
But she does care if Mary's family is hungry. She does care
right.
if Mary is suffering.
Right, exactly. And so those are the kinds of things we need to be caring about with other people.
Well, you know, God yeah. loves me more than he does you.
I know, but there are people who actually in their behavior exhibit that kind of an attitude.
It's jealousy.
Yeah.
It is a jealousy that I'm not quite good enough, or we are not quite good enough, but Pollyanna Pigtails and Joe Snotblossom are, man, they've got God's favor. I know I have, God has laid this on my heart for this minute, I guess, and I'm just going to burn it out and say it. When we have walked in God's favor and we have done the things that we've been asked to do, and all of a sudden, for whatever the reason, our world seems to crumble,
right.
and we see other people getting new cars, we see other people getting, I don't know, a new job, other people getting fancy-dancy clothes. First of all, those things are not what we need.
Right.
If we need it, he is going to provide it, and that brings me to the fact that we need to quit thinking in those veins. Tell him what he needs. In his time, people out there, he will give you what you need. You might not read it right now. I need it right now. One of the things I've always heard is, if you ask God for something, be prepared.
Right.
Because he will not always give you what you want. And sometimes the best prayer you can ever say is, don't give it to me.
Right. But
let me walk in your goodness and your mercy. I know I'm not being trampled on you by Jesus because you haven't given me what you gave Dorothy Sue or Billy Bob.
Right.
But I know you will do for me what you need to do. So I guess what I'm saying there, and is the way it's been laid on me, is let go and let God.
Well, that's what it is. It's let go and let God. It's learning to trust him in our daily lives, day by day. We're going to talk more about this in the next hour because we're going to get into more of what Paul was saying here in Galatians and about Abraham. But we want you to know about the prayer ministry that Carol just talked about. And, Nan, it's pretty cool, isn't it, that we have Carol and Pastor Jim that write these prayers for all the needs that come to us. And there's a lot of them that do from a lot of different places around the United States and sometimes out of the United States.
It's pretty cool. You know, the past 2 weeks I've accessed it, I think, twice. And Carol happened to be
sure.
one to pick it up
right.
both times. And Carol, thank you for your prayers that you added to that. I appreciate it. What happens with the prayer line is that you can email in a prayer request.
Right.
You don't have to put your name. You don't have to put the person's name. You just say my mother. I mean, you
right.
don't need to. That's not necessary because God knows who it is.
Sure.
And then either Pastor Jim or Carol pick it up off the web and off the internet and put a prayer with it.
Yes.
And then send it out to all the people who are on the prayer line.
Prayer team, yeah.
Prayer team. And that way everyone can pray. And if they don't have time to figure out how exactly they want to pray, they can just pray that prayer.
Right.
Which is why it's put there.
And, you know, there's such an amazing amount of prayer that goes up through all the different people that are part of the prayer team. The address, the email address is new in the last few months since we revamped the website, which Maxine did back in February. And go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can see all that. It's just an amazing website. But it's so cool to know. All you have to do is type in prayers at BOHM Global, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries Global.com. And it's going to go to somebody. It's going to go to Carol. It's going to go to Pastor Jim. It comes to me, too, by the way. But they are the ones who send those out. And it is so good to know you've got a friend that's going to pray for you, don't you think, Nan?
Yes, it's very powerful and very comforting.
Yes.
A good word.
We want people to
you
use
know,
it.
To know that people are praying, like with my situation with my mother. People
right.
are praying for my mother.
Sure.
People at church asked me how she was doing, you know, and things
I can
like
tell
that.
You this, ladies. From having been in breast cancer treatment through 208 and 209, and of course I still continue with different checkups required throughout the year, but I know I could feel the difference in the prayers that were offered for me. Sometimes I hate going into all those MRIs, and I get claustrophobic very quickly, and I'm not doing myself any favors. And when the people would pray for me, because I would send out a thing the night before and say, well, I got to ride the silver pony again tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And I would go in the next day, and before I ever left my home, I was in grace. And it was grace because the people that chose to pray for me, and God was lifting me above myself and troubles and
exactly.
my health. He let me know through his grace and through the prayers of the people that prayed for me that he was there, that I was okay. And so, Nan, for your mother tomorrow, we are going to pray for grace. We're going to pray for wisdom, strength, and courage, and for everything that God has in store for your mother to come true. You know, sometimes we have to walk through that dark valley in order to see that the Master does indeed love us.
Amen. Amen.
We can get so caught up into thinking, well, I'm just one of how many people on earth, and there's only one God. How can he know who I am because of this? When you even whisper his name, he hears you.
Amen. He certainly does. Nan, wanted to comment to that before we go to station ID.
To piggyback on that, Carol, yeah, I did send out another one after my two prayer requests, a praise report. And in part of that, I put that I have had an incredible amount of peace throughout this last period of time
right.
that we're dealing with. And I believe that's in part to the prayers of the people on the prayer line. I mean, I really have been at peace.
Yes.
I've not had a moment of not peace at this point.
And praise God.
Believing that's going to continue to be the same.
Amen.
Thing.
So use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com, station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Amen. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are located in Clearwater, Florida, and we are looking at a new location. Right now, we're still in the hotel where we have been the last few months after we moved out of the other facility we had. And, Nan, it was pretty exciting today, wasn't it, to go look at a new facility and think that this is what God is doing?
It was awesome. I mean, all the rooms...
Yeah.
I mean, we almost couldn't have laid it out better than if you'd have gone to an architect and says, here's how I want you to build
this.
Right,
we couldn't have.
I mean, it's just perfect.
It is.
And we already had our first little prayer session in there when you guys prayed.
Yes, it was great.
I took pictures, of course.
You took pictures.
Marked the moment.
Right.
No,
but we're excited, and we're just, you can pray with us that this everything will come together this week on the lease, and we'll be able to really grow and expand in this new facility. That's our goal. You know, we welcome you to become a financial partner with us. There are many of you that listen on the radio, and maybe some of you don't have a local church that you attend, but this radio show becomes your church, and that's great. That is fine. We welcome you. We don't say much about money at all. I never have. I'm not that type of a pastor to bug people constantly about their checkbook, but I'll tell you that planting your finances in a work that God is doing, that is seeing results in people's lives. A word-based ministry is what it's all about. And, you know, we just ask you, can you become a supporter with us? Can you become a partner with us? Go to our website, and you can actually give right there on PayPal. It's a safe way to do it. And there's something about tithing that absolutely will change your life and bless you financially beyond anything that you can imagine. Nan, did you have a comment on that before we go to this first song?
Well, I'm just thinking it's very fertile ground. That's the right word.
Fertile ground.
Fertile ground, something. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Fertile
ground.
When you plant your seed.
Plant your
money,
seed. Plant your finances.
The ministry is, there's no mishandling of funds.
No.
Not big a ministry. I mean, it all goes to reaching back out to.
Right. Goes for this radio show is part of it that goes every week. And just the upkeep of the, where we're meeting and so forth. So anyway, we welcome you to join us financially as a partner. So go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. This next song is one that is a newer song. It's entitled Faithful. We're talking about walking in faith and not getting hung up with all the things that drag us down. This whole series is free to be. Listen to this song, Faithful, by Darlene, and I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. I don't know. We'll just
spell it.
Z something. All right, there we go. Faithful. Let's hear it.
When I am weak, you are strong.
Yes, God, you are faithful. And Cedric, our engineer, says it's a darling check. Thank you. And that is a great new song. Lord, you're faithful to do the work in us. We are in Galatians chapter 3. I want to go down to verse 9. So now those who live by faith, because that is what Paul is saying here to the Galatians, we've got to live by faith and let God do a work in us. By the way, Nan's got the internet up here. If you want to comment or ask a question while we're on the air, you can write us, and it goes directly to my email, which is coming up right here, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com or pastor@bohmglobal.com, and it'll come in here. So in verse 9 of Galatians 3, so those now who live by faith, that's what we got to do, are blessed along with Abraham, who lived by faith. So we got to identify with the life of Abraham, that Abraham, when God said, go, move, go to a new land, Abraham said, okay, I'm going. It was an act of obedience and allowing God to lead him into new territory. And I think so often we get hung up with our past and our rule keeping and all these things, and we don't want to be led out into freedom. But yet Abraham did. He left the civilization that he grew up in and walked into the new day, into the promised land. Galatians 3:9. So this is our new this is no new doctrine. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, okay, that's the point right there, Nan and Carol. Anyone that tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. If we were trying to keep all the law found in the Old Testament, we would find we cannot do it. It cannot be done. So that is the problem. When we try to live by our own effort, we can't do it. Verse 11, then I'm going to go to you too. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. In other words, falling in line with God's plan for us. Nan, I want you to run to Jeremiah 29:11-14, which is the basis for this radio broadcast, has been for almost 7 years, because I love Jeremiah 29:11-14, because it says that God's got a plan for you. I think too often we try to work our plan. We try to do it our way. We try to, then we fall prey to the confusion that the devil brings and the condemnation when we don't live up to the standards that we impose for ourselves. Read Jeremiah 29:11-14, and then we're going to go to Carol for a comment here, because we got to get on board with God's plan in order to be truly free. I mean, it's really, that's what freedom's all about, getting involved with God's plan. Go ahead.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye search for me with your whole heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive.
And so all that is saying, and in some translations it says that he will give us a future and a hope, that he wants good things for us. That's what he wants. He wants to bring us into that right place for each of us instead of us striving. What Paul's saying here is, you guys are trying to do this by your own effort. You're trying, and you're kicking, and you're going, why isn't this working? And Nan, you want to comment on that before I go back to Carol? Because so often we do, don't we do that? We strive to make something happen. We strive to make, to better ourselves, you know, to correct our faults and all of that.
One thing I got out of the service this morning was to rest and relax.
Yes.
To rest
yes.
and relax.
Yes.
And, you know, that is, that's something sometimes is difficult for me to do.
Right.
But that was one thing that
I
gathered from that.
We are so often striving to be maybe not what God wants us to be in certain areas, or get to a place that God's going, no, that's not where I want you.
Well, I try to fix.
Oh, you're a fixer.
I'm a fixer.
Oh, then I think you need to read your poem again.
I think I'll take it home and read it with me tonight. Not really of other people so much of myself. I don't spend enough time. It's not with other people, really, but with just myself.
Right.
And I can't fix me.
Right.
Only he can. I need to be yielded to him.
Amen.
And I need to hear his voice, and I need to read his word, and I need to know what he's impressing on me to do. Then I need to do it, and don't try to fix it myself.
Exactly, and he's got a plan for us that is better than anything we can imagine. Carol, talk to me about that, because don't you think we get so hung up in trying to fix ourselves?
We get so hung up in what other people think.
Right.
And we get so hung up in, we've just got to be number one in town. We have to be the one that struts like the cock of the walk. Says, look at me, look what I've done, look what I've achieved, look at this, look at that, look at the other. And that isn't really a peaceful relationship.
Right.
Because you're not pleasing Christ. You're trying to please every other bird in the flock.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, that's the unique thing about a flock of chickens. If you don't have chickens all of one kind, they come in every color. They all wear fancy clothes called feathers.
Right.
They're all different.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like people. We all wear fancy feathers.
Right.
You know, whatever. If we're, personally, I'm a jeans person.
Right.
After I retired from teaching, I said, enough suits, enough yada yada.
Right,
I am
right.
going to be comfortable.
Right.
Because I'm comfortable in my maker.
Right.
And those of us that are know that those things are just trappings.
Right. They are.
No, they are trappings. And what really counts is what man says that she does. You know, she hears his voice. She tries to walk in the path that he's directed. She asks him for advice all the time. I don't ever leave this house that I don't thank him for my home, that I don't thank him for every bird that occupies this yard, every tree that's planted here, every flower that blooms, and for giving me a peaceful place to enjoy walking in a relationship with him.
Oh, amen. And that's what he wants of us. He wants us to be grateful for what the things that he's doing in us, the things he gives us, the way he provides for us. It comes down to gratitude. It really does.
You know, I know people think this is silly, but I don't worry about anything. I don't have time to worry about it. And yet I know that there are people who do.
Oh, yeah. It's worry's a big problem.
Worry about it. But when I know that he watches over the
right.
fishes of the sea and the birds in the sky and the lilies of the field, why don't I think he watches over me? I can't change a thing in my life by worry.
Right.
I can't make myself better anyway by worry. I am no use to anybody when I sit and worry, because I put myself above everything that God has asked me to do that day. I've become selfish.
Right.
And that's not our nature in
exactly.
Christ to be selfish, you know. I'm sitting here reading, you know, in Philippians 4, and it says simply, pray about everything.
Right, pray about everything.
And that's what I try to
Verse
do.
6.
Before I make a major decision of any kind, even a minor decision, I pray about everything. I said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need courage. I need the courage of my convictions, which are based on his relationship with me and mine with him. I need to know that he's got my back. He doesn't have just my back. He's got my front, my sides, my back, my
right.
top, my bottom.
Well, you know, you brought up worry, and last Sunday I passed out a copy of prayer number 48 in the Prayers That Avail Much book that we use in Bible study for prayer. And it is an amazing prayer. It's just based on Scripture. You just quoted one of those from Philippians 4, 6 to 7. There's some other references here, but I'm going to read it very quickly, because if you don't, out there in Radio Land, if you don't have a copy of the prayer book, Prayers That Avail Much, I started selling it when I owned a Christian bookstore clear back in 1980, Nan, and they only had one little book out at that time. Jermaine Copeland only did. It was just a few pages. I still have my original one. But these prayers will really help you overcome these areas that we're talking about that really bind us up. And it says this, prayer number 48, overcoming worry. Father, I depart from evil and do good. I seek, inquire for, and crave peace. That's what you're saying, Nan. I crave peace. I desire, I pursue it. When my ways please you, Lord, you make even my enemies to be at peace with me. Lord, you have given me your peace. Your own peace you bequeath to me. It is not the peace that the world gives. I will not let my heart be troubled, neither will I let it be afraid, because that's bondage. I refuse to be agitated and disturbed, and I will not permit myself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Instead of worrying, I will pray. I will let petitions and praises shape my worries into prayers, letting you, Father, know my concerns, not forgetting to thank you for the answers. Your peace will keep my thoughts and my heart quiet and at rest as I trust in Christ Jesus, my Lord. It is wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of my life. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Thank you for guarding me and keeping me in perfect and continual constant peace. My mind is stayed on you. I commit myself to you. I lean on you. I hope confidently in you. I let the peace, the soul harmony that comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in my heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in my mind. I am thankful and appreciative, giving praise to you always. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer number 48, in prayers that avail much. The worrying that we get into is bondage, and we're talking today about free to be at peace. And when we are all the time judging others, or when we are all the time beating ourselves up, that is not a peaceful place to be in. It is just not.
I have a thing on my wall which you have seen many times as you get in my hallway, and it is a framed quote that I found years and years and years ago when my life was tumultuous, when I thought I could do things to change things in my life that needed to be changed. And I finally picked up scripture again and started reading it and found out that it was not my responsibility to offer myself peace. It was my responsibility to find peace in my life and a tumultuous relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And it simply says, peace, this I seek each day. And I think the people that have come to stay with us and visit with us, one of the things they say during the visit is, this is such a peaceful house.
It is, yeah.
And it's because before we walked in the door as owners, I asked God to bless this house and all who entered.
Right.
And let his word be spoken in here.
Amen.
To bring peace and comfort to the people who came here and sought his peace.
Amen.
And it is a major thing with me. I cannot live in a tumultuous world.
Right.
So it's like my skin gets pricked constantly.
Right.
Every little barking dog, those religious bitties bodies that bark at
right.
people, it hits me and it pings me every single time. So, you know, I find a peace, and both of us do here. We find a peace in a relationship with Christ.
Amen.
That goes beyond any and all understanding, as we know his peace does.
Amen. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here in Galatians. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns. I think it's one of their newer ones. All Because of Jesus.
Eternity, giver of every person. calls the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me and raises this dead man's life. It's all.
Praise God. It's all because of Jesus. That's what it's all about. And we have got to get our priorities right in our lives and realize it's all because of Jesus. And I love what Paul says here in Galatians, where it says, doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for us. I'm in about verse 11 or 12 of Galatians 3. Habakkuk had it right. And I love these verses. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. It's all because of Jesus. When we believe God, that God sent his son Jesus to this earth to die on a cross for our sins and our sicknesses, when we accept him by faith and allow God to enter into us and begin a work in us, I mean, that, Paul says here, that's real life. And the next line he says in the Message Bible, rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping, a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule keeping, continues to live by them. And so we've got to begin to realize that it's not by all those rules that we are set free. Actually, it's by simply believing that God has a plan for our lives that we were talking about a moment ago. Nan, I know that a lot of times people just don't realize that God could care that much about them. Don't you think that they get kind of hung up back in the thing of, well, if I'm good enough, if I am perfect enough, if I, memorize so many scriptures a week, if I do all these things, or maybe if I take on a big responsibility at church or whatever, then I'll be more acceptable to God. And that's not what Paul's talking about here.
I can recall times that, when my walk wasn't really what it was supposed to be.
Right.
He still loved me right where I was.
Right, exactly, yes.
And I would beat myself up for not doing whatever, but
right.
He wasn't beating me up.
He wasn't
was
beating
just loving
up.
Me. Right. And as humans, I think there are times that we can't, fathom his love for us. It's so powerful.
Well, for Abram, when Abram obeyed God, simply obeyed God and went out from his comfort zone and went out to the promised land, he had no idea where he was going. In obedience, he stepped out step by step. And at that point, when he obeyed God and answered the call, he and Sarah did not have any children at all. And he was really concerned that he would never have any, and was planning on giving all his inheritance, it says in Genesis 15, to a servant. And God said, wait a minute. He took him outside and he said, look up there at the stars. See all those stars? You're going to have that many descendants. You can't even count them, how many you're going to have. By faith, Abraham grabbed hold of that knowledge right there and said, okay, God, I am going to walk this walk of faith with you and believe that you're telling me the truth. Carol, I think so often we get so hard on ourselves when we think we don't have an answer to prayer, or we don't have a blessing, or we don't have a provision or a healing. And we think it's because we have messed up and we have done this or this or this. And we get too so preoccupied with our failures that we forget about what God has already promised us, like Abraham,
Oh, poor, pitiful humans.
Right.
Poor, poor, pitiful humans.
That's what we are.
This is what we have talked about since the very beginning of this program. It is not about us.
It's not about us.
And becoming the deity.
Right.
We'll never be the deity.
Right.
The deity that we should be concerned with and trying to emulate is God and his son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And if we can never get our lives to understand that what we feel, what we think, what we say, what we do outside of a relationship with Christ is nothing.
Yeah.
It's vapor in the wind. It's dust blowing in faces, stifling people so they can't breathe. You know, I'm looking at in Philippians 3, and I don't, my Message Bible is not numbered, but it says, I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally.
Yes.
Experience his resurrection power,
yes.
Be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there's any way to get it on in the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it.
Right, that's Paul talking.
You know, we are promised that when we leave here, if we are in his realm of acceptance because we have asked to be there, we will have a better way, a better place, a better thing. And peace and joy and contentment and love will be overflowing. There won't be any backbiting. There won't be somebody to say, Nan, get off that yellow skirt there and get rid of those red shoes. Or, Pastor, you cannot wear your jeans to Bible study.
Right.
There
yeah.
won't be that. It'll be an open hallelujah, amen. So good to be here.
Right.
Lord, thank you for this.
And what it is, Carol, is our focus down here on this earth with whatever time that we have left, and there's probably not much, but whatever time we have left, our focus must be on increasing our faith so that we can see those mountains move. Nan, you want to comment
yes,
on that?
I'm not going to go into detail or anything, but in December of 2010, God made me a promise.
Okay.
And God brought that promise to come about in June of this year. So for two and a half years, I had to believe God for this promise. And
right.
he brought it together much better than I could have ever.
Right.
You know, but it's just having faith. You
it's
know?
Faith. And the bottom line here is faith.
And
yeah.
I mean, there were times that I doubted.
Right.
I'm not going to say I was perfect with great faith all 2.5 years. I had great faith a lot of the time.
Right.
But there were a few times that I kind of, you know.
We all get into those times where we are like, did I hear God correctly? Is he really promising me this? I know Abraham had to go in those times because he and Sarah tried to have a child apart from Sarah through Sarah's handmaiden. They tried to fix it, you know, and get that son, which became Ishmael, which became so many of the problems we have in the Middle East now. Carol, you wanted to comment on that.
You know, our goal should be living to die, dying to live forever.
Right, right.
You know, we should live this life as if we're dying because all of our dirty, nasty deeds are dying. If we're in Christ, they're dying. They die a little bit more every day. When we walk off and leave and get off that sackcloth and walk away from it, that part is dying. And then we're dying to live. We're dying so we can be in the promises that we have been given by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're just the Holy Spirit. That this, too, will be our goal, to live forever, eternally, with the Holy Father at our right hand.
Right.
You know, so we can be with him. We can experience everything that Scripture has promised. Every promise that Nan has talked about in her life will come to fulfillment in those days, especially. She will understand why she didn't get her answers right away.
You know, your point here, Carol, is really good, and it reminded me of what Jesus said in John 12. So I just turned there in my Bible. It's John 12, 23. And Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. That was him. He was talking about himself, Jesus. He said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. And we know this in crops, that when you put a corn seed in the ground, unless it goes in the ground and dies, it's not going to grow into that large corn stalk. And I'm reminded of that every time I go to Indiana, and I just came back from there, and all the corn that surrounds my son's farm right there. And the wheat falls to the ground and dies. It remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds.
From that one corn, you know, corn has several parts. The outer, tougher part is what will die.
Right.
And inside, there's a germ, like for germination. It's a
live thing. Yeah.
And as soon as the outer part has to die at Ryan's farm, for the inner part the germ to take place and to grow.
Right.
Well, isn't that what we are? Aren't we kernels of corn symbolically?
Right.
We've got to die to our outside world, our outside self, to our inside self if necessary, because we don't do it any other way. But we have to die.
Yeah, we
and
do.
And we're resurrected in Christ.
Yes.
Because of our commitment to him and his commitment to us. So then we blossom and we become more. And look how many people are fed by one little tiny seed that grows into that big ear of corn, which then feeds how many people?
Amen. So what you're saying is, and I agree with this, and this is what Jesus is saying here, is we got to learn to die to ourselves the way we think it should be.
I say that all the time. I have had to learn to die to myself.
Right.
People remind me of things, good things, that I've done in my past, and I stand there and I go, really? And, of course, you always get reminded of the bad things. There's a multitude
right.
of people who tell you about the bad things.
Right.
And that's why a prophet in their own hometown is useless.
Right.
People don't see the growth. They don't see the seed that emerged from that dying friend.
Right.
Who died to their old self.
And it's a process.
All they see is if, you know, if Billy Bob is out now on and preaching the gospel and working in the community and to assist people and do the things that Jesus would have had him do, they don't see that. They see that 16, 17-year-old kid, 22-year-old man running up and down the street throwing beer bottles out and bonking people in the head with it.
Yeah, the past, people's past sometimes does come back. But, you know, whatever the issues are in each of our lives that are keeping us from focusing on really everything God has for us and his plans for us, sometimes the things that just hang us up are issues in our past like that, or things that are bothering us now and worrying us. And when we begin to give those to God and we say, here we go, I can't fix this, you're going to have to. You're going to have to take this.
And in Philippians 3 here, I'm reading this in conjunction with what you just said. So let's keep focused on the goal of running
yes.
with Jesus.
Yes.
Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment,
right.
God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it. Now we know that we're on the right track. Let's stay on it. And that goes right back to what we have talked about the whole day. If we don't have that green light in front of us, we have got to learn to be better drivers.
Right. Well, we've got to be following the path that God has laid out for
right.
us. That's it.
The green light.
Yeah.
If we come to a red light, which is symbolic of our, bad boy self, bad girl self, we got to stop at that traffic light
yeah.
and reevaluate.
Right.
And then we're given the caution to think, be ready before that green light comes on.
Well,
be ready before Jesus comes back. This is our cautionary time. We're living on expendable time.
Right. And we
those that don't believe it will soon find it out.
Right. And, you know, Abraham simply said, okay, God, I choose to believe you. And I think when it comes right down to it, with our growth in the Lord and in where he's taking us, we've got to believe that he loves us, number one, when he says he loves us, for God so loved the world. When he really does love us, then we also have to believe that he has a plan for us. And
yep.
if he has a plan, then that plan is not going to bring us harm. It's not going to hurt us. It's not going to destroy us. It's not going to kill us. His plan is going to bring us the good that he has for us, because the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. So we have got to go with that. And we do that by faith. So if we're struggling, Nan talked to me about this. If we're struggling with an area of our life that we just think, man, I just feel so impatient, or I just feel so unforgiving in a certain area towards a certain person, we have got to learn to give that to God by faith, that he loves us enough and he's going to show us what to do in those given situations. Talk to me, Nan, about that, and we'll go back to Carol.
Well, I mean, it's just, simply put, it's hard to do that.
It's hard to do that. Yes, it is.
You know, but we should strive, you know, to do that. I mean, you know, I, right now, probably, I definitely have more peace in my life than I've ever had.
Okay.
Ever that I can ever recall. But I can remember steps along the way of, what do you mean I've got to forgive my ex-husband?
Right.
What do you mean I need to forgive his wife for what she has done to me and caused me great
problems?
Ah, there
you go. Okay, there you go.
What, you know, what about the boss? The boss that really, you know, was tough to deal with.
Right.
You know, but as we learn to give those things
yes.
over to God
yes.
and ask his help in handling them, which is what I did in those situations because I couldn't have handled them without. I'm very much at peace. I mean, my life right now is a very peaceful life. Thank God.
Right.
But that's after.
But you're saying there were
stuff.
Steps along yeah. the way where you had training ground that you're
right.
going through. You're still going through. We are all going through until Jesus takes us to be home, at home with him. But in these steps, in these training ground, we have decisions we can make. We have choices. We can either say, okay, God, I'm going to let you clean me up in this area. Mm-hmm. I am going to trust you, and I'm going to forgive because it's the right thing to do. And I'm not going to harbor resentment or anger or unforgiveness or whatever the thing may be. I'm going to let you, God, really work in my life. And that's what you're saying. It takes that in order to get to that place of really surrender and peace.
Right.
Well, you know, forgiveness is really a gift we give ourselves.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
Nan, I'm sure that, you know, after what you've just spoken, you can sit a reflective time for yourself and think, look at the time I wasted on something mm-hmm. that wasn't my issue.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But we all do.
I'm not going, and I have this, I truly do mean it, people. I will never again let somebody take a minute of my time that I don't choose to give them. Because all it does is create resentment because you've got to answer to somebody's remark or request or whatever it might be. And if it's not something that's going to benefit my relationship with Christ, I don't need to hear it.
And, you know, and I agree with that, but it's easier said than done sometimes. Like,
oh, yes.
In it's work situations,
to do it.
Home grief, situations. Yes. There are times that things happen that are very hurtful to us. And it's really at those times that we need to consider those as opportunities for training that God is teaching us how to handle difficult people, because we all have them. Nan, you're laughing. Why? You have some difficult people in your life.
Opportunities. You know, this difficult to think, to look at it like, wow, what an opportunity.
What
they were really being mean to me. What an opportunity I have.
But it's true, isn't it?
It's true. I thought it was kind of funny. That's
yeah,
all.
Because, you know, so often we don't know how to handle a given
right.
situation. So that difficult thing or interaction with somebody at work, somebody in your family, whatever, becomes an opportunity to let God teach you mm-hmm. at that moment how to react accordingly right. the
you
right
know, we
way.
We have to ask for the lesson. And respond according to what he has taught us.
Yeah. It's
I
not
mean, now
easy,
man can laugh at the situation
yeah.
that before caused great angst and pain.
Right.
We've all gone through that.
Right.
Regardless of what it is, whether it's family, friends, whatever it is, the world itself has been very ugly to an awful lot of people.
Right.
Right.
And I doubt that the three of us can sit there and say it hasn't been ugly to us.
Sure.
But
sure.
It, when we're going through it, like you said, it is painful. It's like having a worm in your foot and you know it's there and it hurts, but you're afraid to take it out because that's going to hurt worse.
Yeah.
And but splinter. You go, I can't let it live there. It's going to eat my foot.
Splinter. Yeah.
So then you make your mind up. I've got to have this taken care of. So you go to the doctor and they take care of, get that ugly little thing out of the balls of your feet. And you realize that pain is gone.
Right.
That, you know, the aggravation of it crawling and eating me is gone.
Right.
It has been destroyed from my life. I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't touch it. I don't itch anymore. And I am now through, and I can revel in the glory that God has done for me. He taught me a lesson. Oh, gosh, learning lessons is terrible. If you think learning a math equation is difficult, learning a lesson that Christ walks you through.
Right. It's hard. It's right.
It is very difficult because in our humanness, we want to say, now listen, God, that's not work. That's not, you don't know Hattie. You don't know Billy. You don't know what they're like in
right.
my life.
Right.
Really? And I can see him going, really? You don't think I know, Carol?
Yeah. But he does know.
Walk with me. Trust me. I've got a better plan. And in the process, you're going to be a better person to me.
Amen. That leads us right into this song, Faithful God by Laura Story.
May the grace sought my heart on that first day. Be the grace that binds my heart to stay. May the truth that opened up my eyes on that first time be the thoughts on my mind that never go away. For you are a lamp unto my feet, my path. You're the hand that's holding me, faithful God. Every promise kept, every need you've met, faithful God. May the love that caught my heart, joy and suffering. For you are the love that never leaves, the friend that won't deceive. You're the one sure thing, faithful God. Every promise kept, every need you've met,
faithful God. How deep that love that he has for us. It is so amazing. And he has a plan for each of our lives. There might be some of you out there right now that are just not sure within your heart that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. Maybe you're hearing us talk about this relationship with God, how God can come in and clean you up and change you and cause you to become the person he wants you to be, on the right path that he has for you. And you're going, how do I get there? How do I do that? Nan, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer, which we call it that because it is those that have not sure that they're saved. They're not sure that Jesus is their personal Lord and Savior. And if you will repeat with Nan after I say each phrase, then it is simply you get saved by faith. by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It says in Romans 10, believing that, God raised Jesus from the dead, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he loves you so very much, that he has a plan for you, a plan that is perfect for you. You just got to find it. You got to get on board with it and allow him to do the work in you that needs to be done. So, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins.
I believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins.
I believe he went willingly for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that he went willingly for my sins and my sicknesses.
And I believe that God the Father.
And I believe that God
raised Jesus from the dead.
Raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that he is the living Lord.
I believe that he is the living Lord.
I believe that he has a plan for my life.
I believe that he has a plan for my life.
And God, I ask you now.
And God, I ask you now.
By faith in the name of Jesus.
By faith in the name of Jesus.
To come and live on the inside of me.
To come and live on the inside of me.
Forgive me for anything and everything I've ever said or done.
Forgive me for anything and everything that I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now.
To become my personal Lord and Savior.
To become my personal Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
This I pray.
This I pray.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Woo! All right, we want to hear from you. If you just prayed that prayer and maybe you have some questions about what that means to have this personal relationship with God. And maybe as we've been talking today, you're realizing, wait a minute, this is all done by faith? I thought I had to be a certain way. I thought I had to give up this, give up that. When you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, he'll tell you and he'll prompt you when it's time to give something up, if he wants you to give something up, doesn't he, Nan?
Yeah, he did something like that. I mean, you know, sometime back, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that nobody came up and said to me, you need to do this or do that.
You just knew
it. I just knew it.
God knew. God told you.
God told me.
Right. And so he can do that work in us that needs to be done. That's what we're talking about. This whole series is free to be. Free to be what? Free to be saved and walking in the blessings of God. Free to be knowing that we've got a future with him in heaven when we allow him control of our lives and allow him to work his plan in our lives. It is amazing what God can do. Carol, some final thoughts here and for our listening audience.
Well, I guess some of the final thoughts are some of the things that Paul tells us we should be doing to and with each other, to be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs, don't snap at each other, look for the best, and always do your best to bring out the best in other people. I think we should learn to love people right where they are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think we should welcome them because they truly are our brothers and sisters, regardless of age, color, gender, genetic makeup, whatever it might be. We're no different in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. We don't know the walk that somebody else is walking. We don't know the grief they suffered. We only know that through the words of Jesus Christ coming from our mouths to their ears, we can help make a difference in their lives. We can bring them to Jesus Christ. I have a very quick little story. Last night, there's been a man at the ball games every year since we started going 6 years ago, and he's a man on the street. And he's always got a big old smile on his face, and his teeth are snaggled. And every year, he waits outside for people who would put a donation in his little plastic cup. It's not allowed in Atlanta, really. And I decided, you know, I like him. God brought me to this man for a reason. And so I had not seen him this year. We've played 13 home games. I have not seen him. So day before yesterday, I said, Lord, I have not seen him. Is he okay? I just need to know he's okay. So last night we walked out of the ball game, and I looked up, and Maxine says, your man is here. And he was sitting where he always sits, and he raised up to greet me. He said, Sister, I've been looking for you. I didn't know if you were okay. And I said,
praise
this is
God.
A remarkable working of the Lord. I asked him to let me know that you were okay.
Oh, praise God. Isn't that great?
And yeah. So that's what we need to say to each other.
Right.
If you're lost, let me help you find Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
If your life is out of sorts and the noise of the world, let me tell you the peace that you will find in
Amen.
Your life through a loving relationship with Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
And
Amen.
Let me always forgive myself when I am unkind to other people. Let me ask for that forgiveness.
Right.
Say, Lord, put me on the right track.
Amen. Absolutely. Right.
Well, those
on.
Are my final words. You know, I think about the man who was and is and always will be. He's the one that put me here. He's the one that will take me home.
Amen.
And I'll live again.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Carol. You're always wonderful. We love having you on the show. You're a great part of our radio team, so thank you for your time today. Appreciate it very much. Nan, I'm going to ask you to read that poem that God gave you again for a final thought here, if you will.
Certainly. You can't fix other people. Please learn that this day. Look to me for all of your direction. I will help you as you pray. Your prayers will accomplish more than anything you could ever do or say. Lean to me. As you face people, I will move. I will make the way. It's not your job to fix others. Concentrate on what I can do in you. You will feel so much freedom as I work in you all that I do. Remember, you can't fix others, so concentrate on the areas in you. I will work in your life, and I will work in them as and I will them. I will also do.
We just welcome you to pick up these shows on our website. If you missed any recently, we started this new series, Free to Be, last week. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and listen to old shows. Nan, I know you do it a lot. You go back and listen. Right. And it's really good, isn't it, to be able to catch some of the teaching and the songs and everything and hear the Word of God taught.
It's such a blessing. And what's the need is the anointing goes out.
Yes.
You know, when you're
yes.
when you're listening to the
Praise God.
Shows, the anointing is there, you know, regardless of you hear it now and then you listen to it and 3 months later, the anointing's
it's still there.
There.
Still so there. Praise God. So we welcome you. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and pick up some of these shows. Also, if you want to be a financial partner with us, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, go to PayPal, and you can give a donation there. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to our services. Right now, at least for the next week or so, we are still in our hotel location. We hope to be able to tell you next week that we are have a date to move into the new space we looked at today that we want to take. And so we're hoping that that's all going to come together. And those of you that pray for this ministry, pray that that happen. That will happen. It'll be a really good location, easy access right here in Pinellas
Beautiful
County.
Beautiful facility.
Beautiful facility. It's just absolutely
it's great,
isn't it? And room to grow, a big sanctuary,
right.
Bible study room, offices, and everything. So we look forward to that move, and we're praying and believing God that that's going to happen. So we'll let you know on that. But on Sunday mornings, 10:30. Next week, we'll still be at the hotel where we are right now at the Ramada Inn on Almerton Road. And Wednesday night Bible study at 7. Prayer meeting starts at 6:15. Join us anytime. Send your prayer request to prayers at bohmglobal.com. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Make use of that. Go to our website. Get acquainted with it. beaconofhopeministries.com. It's not far to Jesus. I think we're close to the end here, Cedric. I can't believe it. It goes so fast. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week. This has been Carol and Nan and Pastor Marcia from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. God bless you. Write us, pastor at bohmglobal.com, if you need to talk or need prayer. All right? God bless you. In Jesus' name, have a great day, and we'll see you next week on this very time slot on the station, 3 to 5 Tampa time next week. See you then. God bless you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.